Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
We would like to affectionately greet all of you for this first session of our Japa and Kirtan retreat 2011 in the sacred land of Vasana, one of the places of Srimati Radharani, the Queen of Vrindavan. Welcome, 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 and thank you all very much that you have made the time in your life. You have busied yourself, you have come from many corners of the globe to be here and dedicate yourself to enter deeper into your relationship with Krishna in the form of His holy name. It is very good, and as they say in Vrindavan, Badai ho, badai ho, badai ho. It means all the best for you. This first presentation, which will last about 15 to 20 minutes, will be held by myself. Then Jagatarini Mataji will give us an orientation about Vasana, where we are. Bhurijan Prabhu will then help us to become clear of our sankalpa, our intention. And finally, the evening will be concluded by His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, who we are very, very excited to tell you is a dream come true. I mean, His presence here is a dream come true for us who are holding these retreats in Vrindavan, because for a long time we tried to find a suitable time and in Maharaj's schedule, and for this year he has agreed to be captured by our loving net. So he is with us. Good. And then there will be some announcements how the retreat will look. I would now like to catch your full attention in this presentation called Entering the Retreat. I believe that what you're going to hear now might help you to have the deepest experience in your Krishna consciousness so far, or hopefully help you. See, whatever we do in our lives is really described, or the success or failure is dependent on how much energy we put into it and how much focus we put into it. In our devotional life, trying our best trying to put energy into a process is called svachesta, one's own endeavor. And during this time, the focus is, of course, very, very important. When I speak today about focus and energy, I do not wish you to forget the third and most important factor of our retreat, that is mercy, the mercy of Radha and the mercy of Krishna. But since this is something which is absolutely outside of our own possibilities, it has to be given voluntarily and freely from above. I will today speak mostly on applying focus and energy. But before I do so and give you a few tips how to do this, I would like to give you a little history about for this retreats. These retreats were conceived long ago in the different spiritual cultures of the world. Everywhere, whether in Christianity or in Islam, it was known that to deepen one's practice, one had to retreat from the world, go back from the world, and enter into a space. And this is not just a physical space, but an atmosphere in one's life, which would help one to concentrate on one's spiritual life. In ancient Vedic times, or let us say even recent times, it was known that pilgrimages would offer such a facility for retreat. People would leave their homes and go to holy places where they would exclusively engage themselves in activities which would bring them more into contact with Krishna. For instance, they would look for the saints and listen from the saints about spiritual subjects. They would increase their wakeful hours. They would get up earlier to attend different aratis and ceremonies. They would take sacred baths while meditating about the personality whom they would try to please with all of this. They would do the different practices which would make ordinary tourism or ordinary journey or ordinary travel into that sacred experience of pilgrimage where the Lord can be contacted. This was one of the very traditional forms of retreating. But also, within our culture, you find the observance of a concentrated spiritual life during special months, like the month of Kartik or Purushottam, or even every 2 weeks during the observance of Ekadasi. It was known in ancient times that a person, in order to regenerate his spiritual commitment, would have to leave his ordinary, sometimes quite entangling life behind and just go into a space or a situation which would allow him the maximum amount of concentration. One great pilgrim who went on retreat with a very particular motive, which you might like to emulate, is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I believe you all know that he is known to be the pioneer of bringing Krishna consciousness again to the foreground of awareness. It was a little forgotten, and there were many new movements who had left the pure path of the bhakti which Gauranga Mahaprabhu had taught. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur single-handedly created a counter movement. He created what he called the Namahatta movement, a movement where there would be, which would spread different sanghas or associations of devotees who would chant and read the Bhagavatam and distribute Krishna consciousness to others. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also wrote many, many books, but then briefly, then something happened, and he writes about it. "Oh, alas, alas," he said, "I tried my best to establish the noble truth of Gauranga Mahaprabhu's movement, but again, this false intellectualism and the various upper sampradayas, those who did not teach pure teachings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, have spread. Oh, now, where I see on my own, I can't spread this movement of Gauranga Mahaprabhu, I go on retreat." And he went to the beach of Puri. He threw himself into the dust, not dust, into the sand of Puri. And he wailed and he cried and he said, "Gauranga Mahaprabhu, unless you empower me to do this impossible work, I will fail." And it was very moving to say that he describes how once, as he was lying on the beach, hot beach of Puri, you know, the we can just imagine the waves thundering against the beach. Huh? More? So the waves pounding, hammering on the beach. He was sad. He could understand on his own. He couldn't do Mission Impossible. That is, spread Krishna consciousness in Puri, in Kali Yuga. And he earnestly retreated from his own endeavors to connect himself with Gauranga Mahaprabhu. And then he describes, "One day, as I was praying on the beach of Puri, I saw the golden complexion Lord, and he said to me, 'My child, do not worry. It is the age of Kali. It is natural that there is opposition, but I will empower your work so you may again go and you may again do your preaching.'" So, I like this picture of a devotee going on retreat who understands himself being in a helpless condition of life, a condition where he needs help. I have three questions for you. My dear devotees, have you received in this life all that you really wished to achieve spiritually? You are looking at me, and I am looking at you. Please think again about the question. Have I achieved in this life all I wished to achieve spiritually? If there are a few bold individuals, mostly they are one month old in Krishna consciousness, who say, "Yes, Maharaj." Thank you very much. Yes. If there are few bold individuals who say, yes, I have achieved everything I ever wanted in my spiritual life, I would like to sincerely congratulate you. But I would like to ask you a second question. Do you feel that what you have achieved always stays with you and does not leave you? Let us say someone is very fulfilled and happy in Krishna consciousness. Does this always stay with you and not leave you? My dear devotees, I think it is clear what these questions intend to express. It would be, let me say, a little bold and daring if he would say, yes, I have achieved everything I ever wished in my spiritual life and it always stays with me. I'm always with it. I'm always on that level. If you feel, on the other hand, like most of us, that, oh, there's still so much ground to cover. Oh, I still want to focus more attention as I chant. Oh, I really have a heart which is, after all these years, still a little bit lowing, looking like the Joshua Tree National Park. Thank you so much. Yes, this is as ideal as I could ever have imagined. Thank you so much. You are ingenious. The Joshua National Tree Park is something which we just got to know. We touched the land of California just very briefly on our last visit to America, and this national park, of which I have heard so much before, was just one huge disappointing desert. So sometimes we feel our heart, when it comes to spiritual practice, is one huge, large, disappointing desert. So this retreat, in particular, is meant to give you two things: valuable inspirations to improve your chanting, new skills, new insights from senior Vaishnavas, and it will also give you more time with the holy name, but time which is a guided time, and therefore often more, let us say, effective in the japa. This retreat, and Burijan Prabhu will soon make an exercise with all of us, where we become more aware of our intention, is very, very, very important to help us to develop our relationship with the Holy Name through these two ways: new instructions, new insights, and also more time spent in a guided way while chanting the holy name, both in japa and in kirtan. Through this retreats, we try to help the devotees, and I guess ourselves also, to overcome the bridge between what we know and what we experience. During these retreats, we try to overcome the gap between the theory and the practical understanding. These retreats are meant to bridge an abyss between theoretical or even mechanical application of spiritual life and spiritual life with deep feelings. And the way we just do it is by creating an atmosphere where devotees will be able to put their energy and their focus into it. And then the holy name will reveal itself. I will end with a little observation. When I was young, my parents wanted me to learn many things. One of the things was bicycle riding. So I got my little red bicycle, which is already quite famous in ISKCON. a little thing. I remember I purchased it during an auction for $10. My little red bicycle, and these were the times when money was a little bit more worthy or valuable. So, and then I had to learn to ride on the bicycle, and I still remember that I was an extremely slow learner. And if you look at my knees, which is only for men, you can still see the marks on the knees, which came because I fell so often on my knees from my little red bicycle, because I just could not learn it. I couldn't get it. Everyone said, you have to experience balance, you know, balance, balance. And I said, what is balance, please? And the people said, balance is balance. You just, you know, this is balance. Can you be more concrete, please? This is a little vague for a German boy. No, balance happens when you drive swiftly. And then the one friend said to me something which made the breakthrough. You have to apply energy, put your feet on these, are they called pedals? Pedal, 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 pedal. And then put your gaze, look at something distant. Don't look what is immediately under the wheels of the bicycle, you know. Look at something, a distant goal. And as you keep on putting energy and focus into your bicycling, you will get it. You will get the feeling of balance. I still remember. And I said, wow. And I still remember to this day, it took me only 1.5 hour to figure out what is balance by applying energy and focus. You can't explain the feeling of balance. It's a very, very difficult physical concept and so on. You can only feel it, you know, when you walk on a tight rope or do bicycling. So in the same way, my dear devotees, we want to chant with taste the holy name, which is something as esoteric as balance, maybe even more esoteric because it's spiritual. And to get that, you will need three components. The two first are energy and focus, and then, of course, Nam Kripa, the mercy of the holy name. But as I said, since that is so beyond us, we are just want to show the Lord that we really want to have this Nam Kripa by giving what we can give, that is our energy and focus. During this retreat, I would really like to request all of you to remain concentrated on the work ahead of you, to improve the relationship of the holy to the holy name, no? And get this Nam Ruchi, this Nam taste, this taste of the holy name in your life. Remain focused on this. Give energy to it by applying yourself to the program, which is very, let me say, it's laid out based on a lot of experiences which Bhurijam Prabhu and Giriraj Maharaj and other facilitators of these retreats have made. You know, it's something tried, tested and proved. It's a magical formula which you will get to know. And I very, very much can guarantee you, you will get something sublime. You will get something ecstatic. And you will have an experience which you will tell posterior, oh my God, this English word, the people who come after you, and so on. Let me conclude with a japa meditation from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, just a few lines. O holy name, O ocean of bliss, I fall down at your lotus feet. For I am feeling very distressed and troubled at heart. At the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, I constantly beg that at every moment there may be the direct revelation of the Holy Name. I wish you a wonderful retreat. May all your spiritual dreams become fulfilled by the mercy of Srimati Radhika. Hare Krishna.
Could you read that last line again? What Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that meditation?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the whole thing. Was
the whole thing?
Yes, please.
Would you also like to hear the whole thing again?
Yes.
O holy name, O ocean of bliss, I fall down at your lotus feet. For I am feeling very distressed and troubled at heart. At the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, I constantly beg that at every moment there may be the direct revelation of the Holy Name. Oh, Krishna, please reveal yourself. Please reveal yourself. Please reveal yourself. So, our next speaker is Jagatarini Mataji.
Yes.
And she will bring us to Vasana proper. She is on our retreat, the expert on the Holy Dham. And she always enlightens the devotees with deep knowledge and from the scriptures about the Holy Dham, and we can't wait to hear this year's contribution from here.
So I think that most of the guests that we have here at the retreat this year have come from outside of India. So when you get off the plane or the train on your way to Vrindavan, you enter into the land of contradictions. This is India. As soon as you see one thing, you'll immediately see the opposite. You'll be angry about something, and immediately you'll see something that you highly appreciate in the very same situation or circumstance or personality and so forth. So from entering India, then we come here to Vrindavan Braj Mandala. And in Braj, Vrindavan, the center is Nandagram, or the place of Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braj, and of course the father of Sri Krishna. But Varshana is like the heart of Braj. Varshana is so sweet. Even the people are quite different in their fiber here in Varshana than they are in Nandagram or in other places. Even the common people have a kind of a sweetness, something very remarkable actually. So Varshana is the place actually of the paternal relationships with Srimati Radharani. In Varshana there is a place known as Brishabhanu Kund. And there is also a temple in whom in that temple you will see Vrishabhanu Maharaj, Kirtita, and Sridham, Srimati Radharani's brother. So this place, Varshana, is also called Vrishabhanupur. Vrishabhanu Maharaj was the father of Srimati Radharani. So when we come here, I often think in coming to Vrindavan, who should we pray to here? And naturally people may say, oh, we should pray to Srimati Radharani. But if you want to get the mercy of Srimati Radharani, you should pray first to her mother and father. Please, I have come to this place, and I have come for a very specific reason. I have come to develop my realization in my chanting of the holy names. And to please Srimati Radharani, I have come here and I am chanting Krishna's names. So please bless me that somehow or another she may become very pleased upon me and give me her kind, sweet, sidelong glance. There is a wonderful prayer that is said, begging this glance of Srimati Radharani upon anyone who comes here to Varshana. Long, long, long time ago, Lord Brahma, understanding the value of Radha and Krishna's beautiful pastimes, prayed that he could become a hill. And he becomes, in the Leela of Vrindavan, this hill that we see when we look, come this way over here, and we see at the top of one of the peaks of this hill, the Sriji Mandir, where Radha and Krishna have been worshipped for a very long time. Actually, in Varshana, there are two hills, or there are two hills and five peaks. On one side, when we go for our japa, you will see there is one hill, it is a Vishnu Parvat, and the hill with the four peaks is Lord Brahma Parvat. And on the Lord Brahma Parvat, there is the hill of Maimor Kutir, Mangar, Dangar, and the Larli Lal Temple. So devotees who come here to Varshana, whenever possible, they like to take off their shoes. Because after all, our Guru Sampradaya is coming in the Sampradaya from Lord Brahma himself. So when we walk here, we can think we are actually, by his mercy, we are walking on his head. So Lord Brahma became so ecstatic when he entered into Krishna's pastimes, when they were present here, later, that he prayed that he could also become just the particles of dust, so that he could have the feet of the residents of Vrindavan walking upon him. So this Varshana is a very sweet, a very divine, and a very merciful place. When you're chanting your japa here, of course, when you're chanting your japa anywhere, but particularly when you're chanting your japa here, please remember that Srimati Radharani becomes very, very pleased when she hears Krishna's name being chanted. And Krishna becomes very pleased when he hears Radha's name chanted. So as we're chanting, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, we can think that if we can chant with even a little consciousness, or if not that, even if we can chant with a little endeavor to try to have some consciousness, that Srimati Radharani will see us and she'll become pleased. And as Srila Prabhupada has told us, if we can please Srimati Radharani just by placing one flower, instead of giving it to Krishna, we place it in her hand, then she will give it to Krishna and she will say to Krishna, look at these devotees. They have come from so many different places. They have so many different things in their minds. They have so many different things in their lives. They have their ups and they have their downs. They have their struggles and whatnot. But they have all come here with such a sincere mood. So please, please, please give them your full blessings. So I am thinking that for all of us whilst we're here, we should take advantage of Srimati Radharani's kindness to help us with this japa retreat. Because, as we know, chanting Hare Krishna is the most sublime and perfect activity. And so that we can do that in the best possible way, we need her blessings to help us. So I think we could hear more about Barshana, but I would like to keep my suggestion on this one thing, that concentrate here on receiving the blessings of Radharani for your chanting. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
One of Srila Prabhupada's lectures that he gave in 1976 in Mayapur that I recently read really struck me. And there was one or two sentences that really started me thinking. And the sentences had to do with, first Prabhupada said that the conception of Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva should be given up, because Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, what to speak of the conception of ordinary persons, are limited, because Krishna is unlimited. And then Prabhupada spoke about adopting the conception or the teachings or viewpoint of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because, Prabhupada explained, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord. And his conception, he is Krishna himself, who's personally revealing his conception of what pleases him. Because religion is the process ultimately of pleasing God, the Supreme Person, the Parameshwara, the Param Satyam. So what is actually pleasing to Krishna is known by Krishna himself more than anyone else. And that is the conception of spiritual life spoken of and acted by his perfect example of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came specifically to reveal to the world his heart, which is the most attractive thing. The heart of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most attractive thing because it is the heart and the mood of Srimati Radharani, which has attracted and bewildered the Supreme Person, Krishna, who is Sadaishwarya Purna, who possesses everything, who has Satya Sankalpa, he has Icha Shakti. His desires are immediately fulfilled by his own potency, and nothing exists outside of him. Yet, what pleases him and what attracts him is the mood of rendering devotional service exhibited by Srimati Radharani, which was captured by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Prabhupada was explaining in this lecture that we should carefully hear and observe the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and therefore understand what is most pleasing to Krishna, and therefore become the most perfect practitioners of religion, and therefore learn how to evoke the soul's happiness, because our position is to please Krishna, and to evoke ultimately, as Sachinanda Maharaj was alluding to, evoke the mercy of Krishna himself. So, when religion is practiced, or spiritual life is practiced to gain things other than the pleasure of Krishna, that takes us so far from the mood of Vrindavan. We can gain so many things in our life. What do we want, actually? Why do we come to Krishna consciousness, and why do we chant Krishna's names? And why do we act in this world? Why do we not do certain things? Why should we do certain things? This is all our intentions. What do we want? What is our desire? Because this world or the universe is a very mystical place. It is very magical in the sense that there is a reciprocation with our desires that takes place in this world. So it's very important, it's essential, if we want to progress straight in our spiritual life, to keep our intention or our desires focused. For that, we need spiritual knowledge, deep spiritual knowledge. For that, we need good association. For that, we need good hearing and chanting of Shastra. And for that, we need very, very deep sincerity. Now, what we're going to do now and very soon, we're going to talk about intentions and what is on our mind, or not really talk about it, but we're going to perform a personal and private exercise, and we're going to write down, I'm going to request that everyone write down, raise your hand if you don't have a pen or a paper, something to write things down on. Does anyone not have such essential implements? Okay, it seems like either everyone has it or no one wants to admit they don't have it, because no one raised their hands or anything. So there are three things I want you to write down right now, and I'll explain two of them, and one you already understand. The first one is what Sachinanda Maharaj mentioned, was our sankalpa, or our determination, or what we'd like to occur as a result of this retreat, our intention, our sankalpa. In a very, very short and concise way, what would we like to occur by the mercy of this very holy place? And in Braj Dham, if I said that this, the material world is a very magical and mystical place, but this place in Braja, in Barsana, all over Vrindavan, but Barsana is very mystical, that the land in Braja, it reciprocates. It reciprocates. It is alive. And once one has a little bit of a taste for the life of Braja, of how the land and the atmosphere is so alive, and the trees are so alive with spiritual energy. The land is conscious, actually. the river, Yamuna, the hills, they're alive. And they all have the power to reciprocate with us. And they are reciprocating with us. And if our consciousness is correct, or even if we make the attempt to make it correct, the land of Vrindavan reciprocates with us amazingly, magically, mystically. So it is so important to have a clear intention, a clear sankalpa as we enter this retreat. So the first thing we're going to ask you to do is write down your sankalpa. And the second and third things, Suman, could you bring those two boxes up and just put them right here with the labels facing out? Everyone has problems, or at least I have problems. I can say that. I can't speak for everyone else. And everyone has not only problems, but issues. Now, I'm going to define the difference, the subtle difference, just for the purpose of this exercise. We have problems, we have issues. We have problems, we have issues. And the tendency of our consciousness is to focus on our problems and our issues. Now, what I mean by problems is something very specific. You ready? Don't write it down, just listen. Is a problem is an important question or situation that must be immediately dealt with. It requires action. I have this problem that I must act and deal with quickly. That's what I mean by problem. And if anyone doesn't have any problems, I can lend them some of mine. If your only problem is that you don't have any problems, then, as they say in Australia, no worries. Very good. And an issue we're defining as not something that you have to act on immediately like a problem, but it's an event or situation that demands our attention and we have to adopt a particular point of view. I have to make an internal decision about something. Not necessarily action, but an internal decision, a personal decision, understanding a situation or an event or a question. I have to make my decision and have my point of view on it. Now, I want you to write down, or please write down, or I request you to write down a sankalpa, very deeply thought, and be brave, but keep your feet on the ground also. Be somewhat realistic, but a little, maybe not directly on the ground, but a little above the ground, not like miles and miles so you float away. So write down your sankalpa, and then write down your three most pressing issues. The most three important issues that you have to address and make decisions about in your life. And then three very pressing problems that you have. And you have 30 seconds to do this. No. So you have an issue paper and a problem paper and a sankalpa not paper. Or you can write it in your notebook. But your issues, we're going to collect them, so don't write your name on them. We're going to write all your issues on your paper, yes, and problems on another paper. But don't take too long on the issues and problems. We spontaneously have problems. And if we don't have any problems, we create them. So write them quite quickly. Three problems. Three issues, but think very deeply about your sankalpa and write that down. Your deep desire, how you wish the holy land of Barsana to reciprocate with you during this retreat. Now, Suman, you have the, what do you have? Problems. Now, Suman's going to walk around. You walk through the middle over here, and you walk through that side. And he's going to collect all the issues, Namruchi, and he's going to collect all the problems. That's your problem. Put it in there. And make sure you don't put your issues in the problem one. Otherwise, that's going to make a big problem. But don't worry about it. You practically can't go wrong. Okay, walk. And everyone, you can pass your problems and issues up too. You can pass it to someone else because otherwise it may take a very long time. Quickly, quickly, quickly. Quickly, quickly, quickly. You can pass to others. Problems, issues, problems, issues, problems, issues. Radharaman, Kirtan. You have to move past them, pass problems and issues up. You can pass it through others. Problems and issues. You probably all feel a lot better now, having donated all your problems and issues. Mother Prashanta will now do something extreme and radical. No, you have to lock them. Go ahead. What's one? All the problems are locked up. Now all you're left with is your sankalpa. Because what I've experienced in my chanting is that Satchinanda Maharaj, he made the point already, and he made it to me quite a while ago, and I see it very, very clearly. When I sit down to chant japa, my mind tends to want to go to all my problems and all my issues, and it doesn't want to be with Krishna in the form of the holy name. But now none of us can do this because we've locked up our problems and our issues. And Mother Prashanta has the key. And she's not going to open it up until the end of the retreat. And then everyone can take back their problems and issues, if you like. So even though this is a humorous, perhaps a little graphic way of making a simple point, the point is so important during this retreat. And that is that when we sit down to chant Krishna's names, we have no other business other than to be with Krishna on whatever level our advancement is. And no matter what your mind tells you, don't listen to it. Don't think about your problems. Don't think about your issues. You can have them back after the retreat. But during our days here, it is such a special time. We have all donated 6 days of our life to be in Barsana, to be with Krishna, under the blessings of Srimati Radharani in the holy land of Barsana and Sri Vrindavan Dham. We have nothing else to do other than chant Krishna's names. Please accept this point. Please accept this point, and your retreat will be powerful, most powerful. That during this time, you've come here for one purpose, traveling thousands of miles. Take advantage of it. Don't let your mind fulfill its tendencies to dwell on these things. Forget about it during this time and chant Krishna's names with enthusiasm. chant Krishna's names, trusting that Krishna is his name and he can reveal himself to you if he so desires. Chant Krishna's names in the association of devotees because it is so powerful to chant Krishna's names in the association of devotees. This is the recommendation. And chant Krishna's names in the holy names of the holy land of Vrindavan, knowing that this land is so special, that this land is mystical and magical and can reciprocate with you beyond your, it can lift the whole curtain of material existence if it so desires. Please take advantage of your time here. It is so special.
I thought, Bhujan Prabhu, that was a very important point you made at the end. We become a little bit aware, or not a little bit, but we become aware, we should become aware during our stay here that this is the best place, it won't get better. This is the best time, it won't get better, most probably. This is the best circumstance. There are devotees who will carry us with their own determination. So why don't we just do it then? There is a Niti Shastra, an advice. Always consider the place, the time, and the circumstances when you live your life. And then you will know how to live your life. So when you see how your mind goes back to the ordinary and tries to catch Prashanta and wrestle the key out of her left hand or right hand, and then in the night break into the problem box or the issue box. I'm making it very graphic. Please don't follow this. don't get your mind working on, I want to get hammers or dynamite or a machine gun to open this issue box and problem box. Let it rest there in peace. And just consider, I'm in Vasana. It is just after the month of Kartik, where Srimati Radharani's mercy flows especially in this month of Kartik. It's just after. We are just catching Srimati Radharani's merciful inclination, so to say. And it's unique circumstances, really, because all of us have come here with that same opportunity. When the mind goes wild, and I can really tell you, I have a wild mind like 10,000 wild horses. I know what that is. I just always say, okay, you may gallop wherever you want, but without me. I will stay here now with the holy name, and I will chant the holy name. And very soon, some extraordinary devotional feelings will arise in your heart. Very soon, when you're willing to do this little practice, to just let the wind of your mind, or the wild horses of the mind, or the storm of your mind, let it rage, let it rage, let it go on like it has gone on for many lifetimes. But now, bring your attention to the main task ahead of you. Thank you, Bhurijan Prabhu. I promise I won't get my machine gun to open these boxes, these frightening boxes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
I am very happy to be here. between His Holiness Satchinandan Swami and His Grace Burijan Prabhu. This way I can't tip too far in either direction. They'll keep me in the proper balance. And balance is really what the retreat is about. Because most likely we have not... it's very difficult to maintain a proper balance when we are so busy with so many things. And the retreat is an opportunity for us to get away from the busyness and go deeper into our relationship with the Holy Name and Krishna, which in turn will enlighten and animate and invigorate everything else we do. But equally important, it will bring us closer to Krishna in a very immediate and personal and intimate way. As others have said, the time when we chant the holy name is our time with Krishna. And to develop any relationship with anyone, we need to spend time with the person. I've heard it said that sometimes in a relationship between a husband and wife, the wife will say, or the husband will say, we need to spend more time together. Because relationships require time. Once, many years ago, Burijan Prabhu said to me, it takes time to be Krishna conscious. And when I first heard the phrase, I thought he meant it's a gradual process, it takes time. But he clarified and said you have to put time into the process. So the first thing is to spend time with Krishna, with the holy name. And when we spend time with Krishna, with the holy name, we have to be attentive. Again, coming back to the mundane example, we don't spend enough time together. We should spend time together. We should talk. And then they sit down to talk, and one or the other is looking at his wristwatch, checking his SMSs, or just maybe looking around the house, seeing what needs to be done. And the other will say, you know, I wanted to spend time with you. I'm talking to you. You're not even paying attention. So spending time and paying attention are basic requirements in any relationship, any interaction. And when we make that effort, very quickly, as His Holiness Satchinandan Swami said, very quickly, the holy name will reciprocate, or we will feel the reciprocation of the holy name. If we just make that effort to hear the holy name and to either bring the mind back to the holy name or just disregard the mind when it wanders away, but to remain focused on the sound of the holy name. And when the holy name sees that we are making that effort, the holy name will reciprocate. And we will understand by practical realization that the holy name is Krishna, Nama Chintamani Krishna, that the holy name is alive, it is conscious, and it reciprocates with our endeavors to develop our relationship with him or with them by the effort to chant and hear with attention. And this is our service. This is our service. Once our god sister Kaushalya Devi Dasi was organizing a program for Srila Prabhupada in Jaipur, and she met with an accident on a rickshaw and broke her arm. And Kaushalya was a very talented and dynamic young lady. She was always busy in some sort of service, and she did many services very expertly. But when she broke her arm, she couldn't do service like she used to. So she approached Srila Prabhupada, "Please give me some service. I have to do some service." So first Prabhupada said, "Well, you can do the accounts." She said, "Oh, I hate accounts." Then Prabhupada said, "Well, you can chant Hare Krishna." And she said, "No, I want some service. I need some service." And Prabhupada said, "Chanting Hare Krishna is service. It's the best service." So at this time, and again in this wonderful association and in this sublime environment, our service is to chant and hear with attention. Once a disciple said to His Holiness Radhana Swami that I am so enthusiastic to do service. I just love to do service so much. Even when I'm chanting, I'm thinking of different ways to do service. And Radhana Swami replied, "Well, that's nice, but when you're chanting, your service is to hear attentively. So if you're thinking of other services while you're chanting, it means you're not doing your service of chanting and hearing properly. So you can do other service at the right time. But when you're chanting, your service is to hear and not to think of other service." So that is our basic purpose here, to chant and hear with attention. I mean, we want to chant and hear without offense. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that if one chants and hears with attention, then the other offenses will automatically be vanquished. And if we are inattentive while chanting, the other offenses will be allowed to continue and increase. So this is the most basic effort. We spend the time chanting anyway. So why not do it in such a way that we get the real experience of what chanting is supposed to be? It takes just as much time to chant 16 inattentive rounds as it takes to chant 16 attentive rounds. So why not chant with the effort to chant attentively? In fact, when you actually do begin to chant with attention, it's easier. It's easier. But it can be a struggle. I don't mean to say it's easy. It can be a struggle. But at least having put our problems and issues in the boxes and locked them up, we don't have to contend with anything external. It's a very simplified arena. It's just me, the holy name, and the mind. There should be no real reason from outside why I have to deal with anything else. And in that simplified arena, we can pray to the holy name to help us to chant with attention. Of course, we may have many prayers, but because our basic focus during japa is to chant with attention, we can pray to the holy name to help us chant with attention. And just making that effort will please the holy name. Just that we're spending time, even if at first we're not so successful in actually bringing the mind to rest on the holy name, but just the fact that we're spending time with the holy name, as we've all come here from different places to be in Varshana in this association to chant, that much will give pleasure to the holy name. And then beyond that, whatever we can do to really chant with attention will be even further appreciated. And the holy name will reciprocate. We will actually feel the holy name acting as a person to encourage us. Now, the reciprocation may not always be immediate. Sometimes we have to be a little patient, but we shouldn't give up if we don't get an immediate result. At the beginning of Kartik was Sharat Purnima, and we might have recalled the story of Krishna and the gopis, calling the gopis on the night of Sharat Purnima, and how they came to him and then he left them. And then when he came back, they sort of indirectly, very indirectly, but they challenged him. Indirectly, they accused him of not reciprocating with them. They left everything to come to him. He called them with his flute song, and they came to him, and then he left them. And eventually Krishna replied that, "I was never far away from you. I was always near you. And I was watching you and hearing you. And I know that your heart's innermost desire was to increase your love for me. And by removing myself from you, I was actually reciprocating with your heart's deepest desire, because in my absence, in my separation, your love for me increased. So sometimes Krishna may not reciprocate immediately, and we cannot order Krishna, you know, as if he's our servant. Okay, come on. I've been chanting for a half hour. Now, come on. Where are you? We can't order Krishna. You know, we are fully dependent on his mercy. But we should know that even if he doesn't reciprocate immediately in a very obvious way, he is listening to us. We should be conscious of that. And he is mindful of our efforts. And he deals with each and every one of us in a very personal way, in the way that's best for each of us. But we have to keep our focus on reviving our relationship with him. Our relationship with him is already there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema. But somehow we've forgotten our relationship. And the beginning of reviving our relationship is this effort to chant the holy names with attention. And I can only repeat what others have said. I'm also, because the mind is such that it may have to be repeatedly reminded, because it's always ready to go here and there and find some excuse not to chant or to consider something else more important than chanting. So I'm repeating it, that with great effort and difficulty we've come here, we've sacrificed time, money, comforts, maybe even some degree of health to be here. We are in the best place, at the best time, in the best association. So we should take full advantage. We don't know if we'll get such an opportunity again. We don't know what will happen in the next year or the next month. We don't know. So we should take full advantage. I'll just conclude with one thought that just came to mind. Recently in Vrindavan we had Madhava Prabhu leading kirtan, leading and joining kirtan for 6 hours every day. And Madhava Prabhu can chant the same tune for hours, just close his eyes and chant the same tune for hours without doing anything else. And one devotee asked him, you know, when you close your eyes and just chant the holy name hour after hour, what are you thinking? And Madhava Prabhu replied, I'm thinking that each mantra I chant could be the last one I ever chant. And that is a very profound statement. Of course, we imagine, we like to believe, and in all likelihood, the mantras we chant here won't be our last, but we should have that mentality of chanting it, chanting as if this could be the last mantra I ever chant. And eventually, There will be a last mantra. Eventually it will come to that. And so we should practice that now. So I wish you all the best and look forward to spending the next days with you. Hare Krishna.
So, Hare Krishna, this was your first session of the International Japa and Kirtan Retreat in Vashana. It was called Entering the Retreats. Please keep those helpful advices which you found particularly relevant in the forefront of your mind. And please, I wish you all the best that you can use this time taking full advantage of all the help which you will find on your way. It's an entire week which we will spend together. So today is a little bit the settle-in day, but Prashanta will soon say to us how the retreat is outlined and where different programs take place. I just want to say to all of you, I'm very, very, very excited to serve you throughout the next 6 days. I feel a little bit like a battled soldier who comes back from my own retreat in the month of Kartik, which was quite intense this year. And I'm now fully alive and happy to be with all of you and share whatever little insights I have gathered from my personal practice and from reading the scriptures. So see you all tomorrow again. Hare Krishna.
Then I'll say something and then we'll do the sankalpa. There's one last prayer I would like to read, and then you all have your sankalpas, so then we will take a few moments to offer them. And then I'll just read this. Now, this is the last words of Srila Jiva Goswami in his Bhakti Sandarbha. Now, the Bhakti Sandarbha is the fifth of these very philosophical treatises written by Srila Jiva Goswami that establish the entirety of the Gaudiya Vedanta Siddhanta, all the conclusive philosophy. And in this fifth book, fifth Sandarbha, Bhakti Sandarbha, Srila Jiva Goswami describes the entire process of bhakti. Both he establishes it very firmly, and he tells exactly how to practice bhakti in such a way that the results are attained. And the result is priti, the sixth Sandarbha, or love established, reestablished in our loving relationship in service to Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. So in Bhakti Sandarbha, he's very, very methodically describe exactly how to practice so that we get the result. And then this is the last verse, and I found it very touching, and I wish to share it with you. And it's very relevant for the proper mood that is, in one sense, because the mood is how you establish your relationship with the place, the holy name, and the event of this japa retreat. So please listen carefully. I'll read it two times. This is how he ends his description of the process of devotional service that will get us the result. He says, Sri Sri
Radha and Krishna, at whose lotus feet stay the spiritual master, the scriptures, faith, attraction, following, and perfection, whose lotus feet are everything for me, and whose eyes, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna's eyes, are flooded with tears of mercy, and who are the shelter of they who have no other shelter. Their lotus feet are my only shelter. This is the essence of the process and the essence of the mood of chanting Krishna's holy names. I'll read it one more time, and then we will, unless you have something you'd like to say, and then we'll offer our sankalpas. Sri Sri Radha and Krishna, at whose lotus feet stay the spiritual master, the scriptures, faith, attraction, and following and perfection, whose lotus feet are everything to me, whose eyes are flooded with tears of mercy, and who are the shelter of they who have no other shelter, they are my only shelter. Okay, so please take your sankalpa and close your eyes. Radharaman, Sri Radharaman, could you? And think of your favorite deities who are your shelter. Think of your Guru Maharaj. Think of the holy place that's most dear to you. And place yourself in that place before that deity in a humble heart and with obeisances. And then find a wonderful offering of fruit and flowers, perhaps a garland, the most wonderful garland. String that garland and offer it to your Lord. Offer some fruit, some wonderful bhoga offering to make. And then take something of great value, like jewels or a beautiful necklace of rubies strung with gold or pearls or whatever you'd like, or even a garland of whatever, and offer this to your beloved Lord. And now, take your sankalpa. If you can just remember it in essence rather than reading it. But just take your sankalpa and with a humble heart place place it as a request, depending upon the compassionate mercy of your Lord, and ask if they could humbly uplift you in this way. Pray for the ability to sincerely chant Krishna's names with devotion, depending on the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivas Arigor Bhaktivinoda. Pray to the dust of Vrindavan, the dust of Varshana, and when you're finished, you can offer your obeisances and then open your eyes. Finished means you're satisfied that your sankalpa has been sincerely offered at the lotus feet of your worshipable lords. You can stay as long as you like in that mood, but when you're finished, you can open your eyes.